Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The 473rd edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com and use promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today. We're also brought to you by Game Time. Game Time tickets make the perfect holiday gift. Sign up at GameTime.co and use promo code CFBX for $20 off. Once again, that's GameTime.co, promo code CFBX.
Howdy ho, Degenerinos. Welcome to episode, 473 of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. This one is going out to super coach Ray Longo, not just a super coach, but also a funny man. So this goes out to Mr. Longo. Thank you for coming to the show. We're still going through regional MMA. This time last episode, we were in Buenos Aires, Argentina. Now we've jetted over to Yokohama, Japan for a pancreas 30th anniversary event. 340 shows they have done, and this is their 30th anniversary event. So we're going to break it down. That's what we're going to do. I'm not doing it by myself, of course, because I guess I could flip a coin. I might even do better than my co-host. Who's to say? But he is a regional MMA god, so I probably would do worse. It's the one and only Gumby Vreeland. Hello, Mr. Vreeland.
Up like 16 units on regional MMA. I am a tad bit worried. So I built this, like, you know, this impressive regional MMA record over the 2023 yep. regional MMA season. And now we're just going to drop like 25 in the yep. last week. I'm worried I'm just going to go over 25 and be down 9 units or something yep. like that. It is. Yeah, it's like kind of an insane thing to do at the end. But luckily, you know, we had a little fun with Samurai Fight House last week. Luckily, I knew a couple of those guys. I knew a couple of the people on Pancrase, not too many. This one was a little harder. And then we got some Octagon coming up later next week for you guys. And I will tell you, the Octagon one was a lot more fun and a lot more familiar names on it. Octagon is slowly putting together, like, I don't know, yep. this is not the Octagon episode. Octagon's putting on great shit lately.
The good Octagon. There's multiple Octagons yeah, spelled multiple ways.
There's two Octagons with a K. There's two with a
yeah.
K.
I know. It's strange. Tell us about the history of pancreas, Gumby. For people who aren't familiar with it.
I mean, it's just an old, I know that it's an old promotion. I yes, know that pancreas,
a long time.
The word technically comes from the Olympic sport, which was basically like MMA based back in
Pancration. Yep.
Yeah. Pancration, yep. From way, way back in the day. You know, you could talk about former people who used to fight. They used to call them kings of pancreas instead of champions, yep. Yep. Which was kind of fun. I don't know necessarily, you know, like if you asked me to give you some like Pride background or some WEC background, I probably would have done a lot better than pancreas, but, they've had fun events for a long ass time now.
Yes. It's a storied promotion is basically what we can leave it at. It's been around 30 years, so what more do you need than that? So we are going to break down 5 fights, Gumby, as per usual. You were saying off air, this is one you had to do some digging for, right? Some research.
Yeah, there were a couple of people I had heard of. There were a couple of names I recognized, and I was like, oh, I know that guy, but why? And then I had to, like, dig into his record, and I was like, that's why. And then eventually got there. There's actually one person who I remembered and could say I confidently know what their fighting style looks like before watching them again, but that was it.
Okay. Hey, we're in lean times, all right, people?
This is me being out over my skis just a little bit.
Good. It's good. It's that's the only way you grow, Gumby, is to be uncomfortable, right?
That's right.
Something like that. Are there going to be odds for this somewhere? The offshores probably have it.
Yeah, usually the offshores have Pancrase. Okay, cool. Although they do shows less frequently, so sometimes they kind of get forgotten, but this is an anniversary show. They should be good.
Yep. Yep. So that is what we're going to break down here. So this event is going down Christmas Eve, but midnight Eastern Christmas Eve. So the day before, the night before Santa comes. Okay. So you people know this is Pancrase 340, the 30th anniversary is what it is called. Sunday, December 24th, 12 a.m. Eastern time, internet pay-per-view, 14 fights. We're not covering all 14. We're going to give you the a choice five that Gumby likes the best. Yokohama Budokan is where they're fighting, which is a revered venue. So it's this time of year is a good time to be a fight fan in Japan. Normally, maybe not as much as back in the Pride days, but still there's good shows coming up, like Ryzen, for instance, and this one as well. Anybody on this, before we jump into anybody on this card that jumps out as potentially UFC caliber, or you want to wait and see how they perform? I guess one person was on Road 2 already, right?
Yeah, I think he's pretty much UFC caliber already, if I'm being honest. Yeah, I'm a big fan.
Anyone else that stands out, or you want to wait?
Yeah, let me wait to think about what I'm about to say about some of them, and then I'll tell you. If I'm going to say out the gate, none of them feel like they're UFC caliber, but some could make some gains, I guess.
That's another difference between Gumby and myself. Well, one of us thinks before they speak. One of us just says things. Right.
That's pretty fair.
That's pretty fair. All right. Let's jump into it, shall we? We're going to start with one of the fighters I was just alluding to. This would be a featherweight fight, 3 5-minute rounds. Ryogo Takahashi versus Sang-Won Kim. So we got Japan versus South Korea here. Kim, no problem, is the nickname, which is, it's not that a fact that I watched him fight twice. It's the nickname that rang a bell with me. Like, oh, wait a minute. I remember that. No problem. That's a good nickname. So this gentleman we have seen before, we have spoken of before. He's 11-6-1, 3 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been knocked out twice. 1-0 in Pancrase, loss, win over his last 4. He was 1-1 on the road to the UFC show, was a regional champion, used to fight down at bantamweight, 4 years younger than Takahashi, 2 inches of height on hand, 3 inches of reach. Takahashi, not Hiromu Takahashi. I wonder if anyone listening knows who I'm talking about. We'll see. Your dog does. KT is the nickname. I'm probably saying it wrong. K-A-I-T-I. K-A-T? Sure. 14-7 with 10 knockouts. He's been knocked out 3 times. This is his Pancrase debut. He's lost 3 straight fights and only won 1 of his last 5. He's not won a fight since October of 2020. All the good old days, the good old pandemic days. 2-4 and 1 championship. So he has fought in the biggest promotion in the world. I used to fight up at lightweight, was regional champion, 2011 pro MMA debut. Go ahead.
I'm going to say that Sang-Won Kim is going to be the favorite here, but I'm going to say I don't know by how much, mostly because Takahashi has fought for one in not a lot of wins there, but he looked all right. So I don't think he'll be completely overmatched here. If I had to say odds on this one, let's say -200 on Sang-Won Kim, and I'm going to pick Kim here. As I said off the top, he's a guy who I just kind of believe in. He's a guy who I think has a lot of potential. I really like his ability to wrestle. I like his ability to mix things up in general. Pretty much the only thing that stopped him from winning Road to the UFC and winding up being a UFC fighter is he ran into Zia. And Zia is just massive for that weight class. He was just way too big for somebody like Sang-Won Kim to deal with. I actually think Sang-Won Kim is like a little bit more skilled in terms of what he has to offer. And so like if he had, you know, maybe ran up against the guy who wasn't such a size issue for him, he probably would have won that show. And you know, nothing against his opponent here, but he's a short king, and you know I don't take short kings anymore.
Oh, yeah. Short queens maybe, but not short kings.
That's right. I took a short queen on yesterday's episode, so but I don't think short
kings. Don't tell your wife.
And she's not short. She's tall.
I know. That's what I'm saying. You took a short queen. Don't tell her.
But anyway, yeah, like I don't think he's going to have any problem with Ryogo's size, so like I think, you know, this should be an easy one for him. You'll see him get his grappling going and probably get a stoppage in there.
All right, there you go. He's predicting a stoppage as well, so maybe you can get a prop bet. All right, before we move on, I got to tell you about Underdog Fantasy, of course. I don't have to. I want to tell you about Underdog Fantasy because we enjoy Underdog Fantasy. Gummy and I write Underdog Fantasy articles every night for the NBA on the site sportsgamblingpodcast.com. And Underdog Fantasy has a way to play alongside your favorite fantasy players all season long. NFL, NBA, NHL, college basketball, college football, MMA, they got it all over there. Simply pick higher or lower on your favorite players' fantasy stats and cash in. Do you have a play for us, Gumby?
Yeah, you'll hear that before Thursday. Thursday Night Football's got the Saints and the Rams. I'll take Kyren Williams is higher than on his rushing yards.
All right, watch along, make your picks, and maybe make a little cash over on Underdog's mobile app or website, underdogfantasy.com. And when you sign up with the promo code SGPN, Underdog will double your first deposit of up to $100. It's Underdog Fantasy promo code SGPN. All right, we are going up a weight class, lightweight, 3 5-minute rounds. Yasuki Kasuya from Japan versus Tatsuya Saika as well from Japan. I'll tell you about Saika first. I feel like I'm saying his name wrong. Am I saying his name wrong?
I think that's how you say it. I think you're doing great.
Oh, thanks, buddy. What a great guy. That's a co-pilot for you. All right, Yanbo is the nickname. He's 9-4 with 9 knockouts. He's been knocked out 3 times, submitted once. You know what that makes me say, Gumby?
He owes us rounds.
He owes us rounds. He's never gone the distance. He owes us rounds. 5-1 in pancreas. 2-1 over his last 3. 2-3 over his last 5. Got knocked out in his last fight, 4 inches taller than Kasuya. Kasuya, 13-7-2, 2 knockouts, 10 submissions. Knocked out 3 times, submitted once. He owes us some rounds, too. 4-4 in pancreas. He's won 3 straight, and 4 of 6, and 4 of 9. 0-2 in the UFC. I forgot this guy was even in the UFC. I believe he fought Alexander Volkanovski.
He did, yes. That's a good reference. There you
go. There you go. Yes, so that's a rough go there. And he's 2010. He's been a professional MMA fighter since. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I think Katsuya is going to come in here as a favorite. We'll say like minus 190, maybe like plus 170 on the return for Saika. And I actually like Saika in this fight. I think Katsuya, he can crack a little bit on the feet. He's kind of like made his career out of grappling. In fact, like he's, you know, you mentioned Volkanovski and his 2 fights in the UFC. He went 0-2 in the UFC, but he actually fought UFC veterans otherwise too. Like he submitted Frank Camacho way back when on the regional scene, which is, you know, like a pretty legitimate win. But like, you know, like I said, he can crack a little bit on the feet. He very much prefers to grapple. I just kind of worry about how much mileage he has on him now, because as you said, he started fighting in 2010. The 13 fight career is already kind of long, but it is a big 13 years too. It is not like he fought just like a couple of times every year. Like this dude has been fighting. And I worry a little bit, especially based on the fact that he's clearly lost a step in his last couple of fights. Starting to worry about the chin a little bit here. And Saika is a guy who can touch your chin. I don't like the reason Saika is losing fights is because he leans forward when he strikes. He's got like some straight punches that he really likes to throw, and his chin comes forward and his whole neck and head come forward. And that's like obviously super problematic. But at this point in time, Kasuya is not really knocking anybody out. And when Saika lands, when he throws like that, he's actually putting people on their back and getting, you know, he winds up getting the TKO finish with ground and pound, but like he leans forward. And when he hits it, the power comes from that weird stance and that weird thing he's doing. So with Kasuya kind of slowing down a touch, I think Saika is going to tag him at some point in time. Probably going to be a dog here, but I'll take Saika.
All right. You're taking Saika. What do you think we're going to get him at, or what's the range you like to get?
Well, I'd say anything in the plus I'd kind of be in on, but I bet you he's close to plus 170, plus 180.
All right. We'll say plus 175. How about?
I like it.
All right, there you go. Math. That's math for you. All right, we are moving to a title fight. Nothing but title fights, nothing but gold or silver or whatever color their belts are going forward. Pancras interim flyweight championship I won't put you on the spot, Gummy. I don't know
why these promotions fight so infrequently also want to have interim titles.
We got Sai Ichiro Ito from Japan versus Naoki Arakawa from Japan as well. And this is 5 5-minute rounds. Make note of that. They do the 5-minute round thing there for title fights. So 5 5-minute rounds at 125 pounds, which should be fun. All right. Arakawa, 8-4-1, 2 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been knocked out once, submitted once. 5-2 in Pancras, 1-2 over his last 3, 3-3 over his last 6. He did win his last fight, however, and he's 2 inches taller than Ito. Ito, 16-4-2, 3 knockouts, 10 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted twice. 2-0 in Pancras. He's won 4 straight. Before that, he lost 3 straight. All 4 of his wins have come via finish. He used to fight up at Bantamweight, 2012 pro MMA debut. He's also done some pro grappling. All right, break it down.
So Saichiro Ito is definitely going to be the favorite here. I'm guessing probably like -350. He's going to be a massive favorite here. And if you asked me after Sangwon Kim, one person on this fight card who I like, you know, thought had potential to go big show here, Ito might be it. Because I really like his speed on the feet, and I really like the way he mixes to the body. That's probably the most impressive thing that he does is when he throws on the feet, he also just like, you know, one to the body to end every single combination. And at flyweight, that's like just like a really good skill to have to slow down some of those faster guys. And the other thing I really like about him is anytime he tags somebody, he jumps right on top of him and gets the sub. Like despite the fact that he's got really good striking skills, a lot of his finishes are submissions. So like he's a guy who gets after it. And with Arakawa, Arakawa is a guy who I just have seen in fights kind of crumble under pressure. When people move forward repeatedly against him and kind of not let him dictate the pace that he wants to fight in, his arms just flail a little bit too much. He goes into a defensive shell and takes punches. And like, you know, sometimes he's worked his way out of that and gotten himself to places where he could win the fight. But against Ito, who likes to move forward and is going to hit him in the body 7 times if he shells up, I just think it's a terrible matchup for him. So, I like Saichiro Ito here.
All right. There you go. Ito is the pick. Let's move to the co-main event. This one's actually a vacant title. Pancras' vacant Bantamweight Championship. Yasuhiro Kawamura versus Tokitaka Nakanishi. 5 5-minute rounds at Bantamweight. Excuse me. We will tell you about Nakanishi first. He is 10-3, 1 knockout, 4 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted once, 7-1 in Pancras. He's won 5 straight fights in 9 of 10. He's not fought since December of 2022. Used to fight up at featherweight, is a pro grappler, 5 years younger than Kawamura. Kawamura 15-8-1 with 10 submissions. He's been knocked out once, 10-6 in Pancras. He's won 2 straight and 3 of 4. He's won 4 straight fights via submission, is a regional champion, used to fight at featherweight as well. Also, it was a pro grappler, 4 inches taller than Nakanishi. All right, your job.
So I think Nakanishi is going to be a favorite here, probably like -200, -225 maybe. And I think the reason why for me and the reason why I'm picking him here is both of these guys like to grapple a touch. But Nakanishi is a guy who is way better in terms of positional grappling. Like, he is far better at holding the position, posturing up, hurting people with ground and pound, not just diving for a sub and hoping that you get it and then winding up in a much worse spot, whereas Kawamura is more of that. Kawamura is a guy who looks like he grapples in a grappling contest, largely because he's grappled into tons of grappling contests. You know, who, go figure. And like, he grapples that way in an MMA fight, too. And I think that's cool if you're fighting somebody who's got far worse grappling skills than you to kind of just, you know, like, go for it. Like, we saw Leon Edwards last weekend just kind of go for it, right? And he wasn't in any real danger because Colby had nothing left and wasn't going to stop him and didn't have the power to stop him, and he was just going to get right back up if he failed. That's fine if that's the case, but when you're fighting a guy whose grappling skills and positional grappling skills are that much better than you, you just can't do that all the time. You have to be calculated in the way that you do that, and I think Nakashini is the guy who is more calculated and, you know, should by some wild move this fight wind up being a striking match, which would suck for fans because not this would be a, this is going to be a really fun grappling match. You got one guy who's really good at positional stuff, one guy who's going to dive for tons of stuff. This should be like Scramble City all day, and you know, Nakashima should wind up in the best positions. But if this wound up a striking match too, I like him as well, which is why, you know, if there's a price tag right around negative 200, I think he's a good play too. So yeah, give me Nakanishi here.
Scramble City all day, Gumby. I like that. That's a good name.
Scramble City all day.
it should be a name of a jiu-jitsu gym. Open it, Gumby. Open it. Scramble City all day.
Okay.
Okay, there you go. Don't quit doing the show, though. We need you to talk about Pancras. All right, we're going to tell you, I'm going to tell you about a place that you can spend some of this money that we're going to help you win. It would be a Game Time. You don't have to spend too much, though, because Game Time is a fantastic app that can get you tickets last minute, and you don't have to pay through the nose for this stuff. Game Time is the fastest growing ticketing app in the country for a reason. You get images of your seat before you buy, so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. You can buy your tickets in a matter of seconds. Two taps and you're set. Tickets are sent directly to your phone, so you never have to dig through your email. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Game Time tickets make the perfect holiday gift. Hint, hint. I like gifts. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code CFBX for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code CFBX for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. And Hall of Fame Bets, another place that will help you win some money. You win bigger by betting smarter this NFL season with Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NFL, NBA, and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea into Hall of Fame Bets' revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have value. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame Bets. Craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com and use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame Bets. Main event time of the 30th anniversary show will be a battle for the Pancras Welterweight Championship. Genpei Hayashi from Japan versus a fellow Japanese fighter, Ryuichiro Sumimura, and this is 5 5-minute rounds, 170 pounds. We will tell you about the challenger, Sumimura, 22-8-1, 6 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted twice. 3-0 on Pancras. That's part of a 3-fight winning streak, and he's also won 8 of his last 9, won his last fight via TKO. He went 0-1 at Bellator, was a regional champion, 2009 pro MMA debut, 2-inch taller than Hayashi. Hayashi, 13-11-1. With 5 knockouts, he's been knocked out twice, submitted twice, 12-9 in Pancras, and is the champion of the world. He's won 3 straight fights. Before that, he lost 3 straight. He's not lost a fight since December of 2021, so he's got a couple-year winning streak here. Used to fight at lightweight, 2012 pro MMA debut, 3 years younger than Sumimura. So a couple of veterans going at it in the main event. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I think this is going to be probably a pick'em based on the fact that Hayashi is the current champ, and it's looked kind of decent as of late. But I actually don't think he's the better fighter, which will probably make this a favorite here, or a pick'em here with Sumimura. And, you know, like I just said, I don't think he's the better fighter. The thing about Hayashi that has kind of made him fun to watch for some time, and this is one of the ones I didn't have to look up, is he's like a rock'em sock'em robot, dude. He so badly wants to recreate that moment that Don Fry had with, what's his face?
The big yes. Fella. The Japanese fella, the fella. In Pride.
Yeah. And it just looks like he wants to recreate that moment every time. He gets a single collar tie and just throws these like pawing hands. He's more technical than that, obviously, but like it looks like he wants to, you know, reinvent that. He loves to back a guy up against the cage and then stand shoulder length away from him and just throw, you know, hook after hook after hook after hook after hook until somebody gets tagged really bad. And he's been doing well at that. The problem is he's fighting Sumimura, who's a little bit taller, a little bit longer, a little bit craftier, definitely better defensively when it comes to striking, and actually has some pretty good counters. And the best part about his counters is now he's not going to have to draw them out. He's going to know that what punches are coming, and he's just going to have to snipe one of those counters through in order to really make it work. I also think he could get in a firefight and probably, I mean, then it's pretty much a coin flip. He could win that fight too. Because it's not like he doesn't have power. He's not able to throw in that kind of event. But I think the fact that he's bigger, the fact that he can use range a little bit better, and the fact that, you know, at the end of the day, I just think that one of those counters is going to land from Sumamura. I would go with Sumamura here.
All right. There you go. All your picks, all your winners right there. Let's recap. Sumimura, Nakanishi, Ito, Saika, and Kim, correct?
That's right.
All right. Awesome. Hope you all enjoyed that. You can chat with us in the Discord, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. You hit us up on Twitter. That would be SGPNMMA. He's at Gumby Vreeland. I'm a Jeff Fox writer on there, and as well as on Instagram. You can get into my Substack. Check out all my writing. I'm still doing writing, even with the UFC being off. That would be moneymma.substack.com. Gumby is still doing shows on his other podcast as well, even though the UFC is off. That would be Top Turtle MMA. This week, he's got a couple fighters from Uriah Faber's A1 Combat on the show. And he also talks with his co-host about predictions for 2024 in the UFC. So make sure you listen to that. Ram it into your ear holes. And all good things in the sports gambling sphere is at Sports Gambling Podcast and sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Gumby, take us out of here.
All right, I'm Daniel Gumby Vreeland. He's Yanbo Jeff Fox. And we will see you on Sunday.